Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group, and featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, my old Hopkins homeboy, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. This week, we'll look back at some very key midweek games and look ahead to six top 20 marquee matchups, including Duke's game against Denver on Sunday, as the Blue Devils look to bounce back from their loss to Syracuse. Lots to get to, so Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, what an exciting time of the year. Spring officially has begun. March Madness has begun. Do you have a bracket? Did you pick UNC to win it all? Your newfound Tar Heel fan?
I did not. I do have a couple of brackets, but North Carolina, I don't know. I don't know, man. Well, I don't know much about college basketball, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah. And before we move on, I got to ask, did you find your Reuben egg rolls on St. Patrick's Day?
No. So we ended up going out with, and we had a great time. Sunday was beautiful weather. And I'm a little salty today. We're recording on Thursday. So last week in the Baltimore area, we hit 70 degrees. St. Patrick's Day was a little cooler, but it was still mid-60s and a great day. Yeah. Erica and I went with our friends, the Ronalds, Jen and Craig. Craig, high school buddy of mine, played collegiately at Virginia, All-American. We went to the Old Potent Still in Lutherville near the fairgrounds. And shout out Lance Baldwin and his family, one of the owners, my buddy Rob Castani, bartender there. We had a great time. Saturday, I did the Virginia-Maryland game. My wife, Erica, was up in Long Island watching Owen, our younger son, play against Stony Brook. And then Matt was home against Boston University. I wasn't able to go to that. But hey, I was able to watch both games because of streaming and technology and all that good stuff. But so I got done my game down in College Park. Erica was on her way home. So I, coming home to an empty house. So I went to White Oak and I was looking for corned beef and cabbage or something Irish. But and my first instinct was to go to Kelsey's up on National Pike. But that place is a zoo. And I think all Irish pubs, Irish establishments are crazy because everyone was calling this St. Patrick's Eve. And then you had St. Patrick's Day. So I went to White Oak and they had an Irish or St. Patrick's Day menu. And I had some really good beer. I had corned beef and cabbage. It wasn't great. It was like thin strips of corned beef. Mm-hmm. And the cabbage was more like caramelized than boiled. Potatoes really, really good. But I ended up sitting next to someone who was actually from Ireland. Her and her husband were there. And she was, her criteria for selecting establishments on St. Patrick's Eve or St. Patrick's Day was how they poured their Schmittix. Mm. And she was like, yeah, have you been to Shannon's? Have you been to Kelsey's? Have you been to, she had the accent and everything. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm just looking for grub. They can pour it on my Schmittix any way they want. I'm not a Schmittix aficionado, although I do love it.
I prefer that over Guinness.
Drank a lot of Guinness on Sunday, but Saturday night I had an Irish Red and then I had a Schmittix. But anyway, what I found is during holidays, restaurants sometimes don't put forth their best effort with the food that they're. So in other words, you go to an Irish restaurant, whether it's Kelsey's or the Still or wherever. If you go on you go for dinner on a Thursday night or you go for dinner on a Saturday night regular, you're probably going to get their best effort. But if you're going on St. Patrick's Day, they're churning it out. And rookies like me, neophytes like me are going in. And, so it's that quantity over quality kind of thing. So I did get a little bit of Irish food, but it wasn't great. The beer was much better.
I pictured you. You told me that you had to find these Reuben egg rolls, and I couldn't think of any place that would have them other than a Cheesecake Factory. So I pictured you and Ronald sitting over at the mall, like in the Cheesecake Factory, celebrating St. Patrick's Day because that's the only place that would have Reuben egg rolls. And I just laughed. I smiled at that thought.
Yeah. No, Reuben egg rolls are a little bit more common, not common, but The Atlantic, which is a place in Catonsville. I did see their menu for St. Patrick's Day. They had Reuben egg rolls. And I think, not 100% sure, but maybe Riley's, which is also in that Timonium, Cockeysville area, they may have had Reuben egg rolls as well. But it wasn't a draw for us. We ended up corned beef sandwiches, some shepherd's pie. Like I said, I had corned beef and cabbage the night before at White Oak. But the best part was it was a good time. Ran into a lot of friends, and had a very good St. Patrick's Day. What about you? I mean, you're actually Irish.
I know. I am. I had a great time. I set myself up to be able to make my corned beef and cabbage and potatoes and carrots Sunday afternoon while I was watching the Princeton Cornell game. So I had a great afternoon. When the game ended was when my food was ready. And I didn't taste the same after the way that game ended, which let's get right into it then. We're talking about why this is a great time of year, but this is also because the lacrosse season is really taking form. We're starting to understand who teams really are, who's growing as a team, who's getting better as teams head into conference play. And that's a good example of it. The Ivy League games, as they started conference play last week, Yale got a fun win over their arch rival Harvard. Cornell comes back after taking a big lead in a game of big runs and gets Princeton, clips Princeton with 1 second left. Lots of great games last week. You saw a great one you called in Virginia looking really dominant in their win against Maryland. What's your takeaways from last weekend?
Great weather. Fans came out in mass, almost 8,000 fans at CQ Stadium, University of Maryland. That was a game that, in talking with both coaches, you knew it was a big one, but it wasn't an end all be all. But I think after Virginia got that win, and I sensed it before, but really even after, you could sense how big that was for Virginia to end that three game win streak by Maryland in that series. And Virginia just did it. With a clean game. They were great on the wings off of faceoffs. Luke Wehrman really started to get into a stride in the second half, and the wings for Virginia just hounded him all game long. What really impressed me too was Connor Schellenberger. He ended the game, I think, with 2 goals and 1 assist. But every time he touched the ball, you were like, okay, this is going to be something special. One goal that he scored was an ankle breaker. From behind the cage, and you just don't see Maryland defenders buckle like that. So he's such a leader for them. And not only that, he was chasing the all-time points record, which I think he left the Maryland game 1 point shy, and then he broke it a couple days ago in a game against Albany. But Virginia's—they're the real deal. They were my preseason number one, and they've got talent all over the field and athleticism and length. Their defense and they're the middle of the field—they're so long. The Ivy League's high scoring. You mentioned Harvard knocking off, falling to Yale, Cornell outlasting Princeton, Penn beat Brown, but then Penn a couple days later gets upset by St. Joe's. Tuesday was for the Hunter finally in 2024. How about Hopkins losing at home to Navy? That's a bad loss for the Blue Jays, a tough, tough loss for the Blue Jays.
That's a bad loss for
And
sure.
then, people are like, okay, well, maybe Navy now has it figured out. Navy turns around and loses to Villanova at home, lost by a lot to Villanova,
14-7 on Tuesday night.
who's much, much improved. Notre Dame dominated Michigan last Saturday as well. So, you got the Ivies have taken off. The Big Ten kicks off this weekend, which a lot of coaches and I call the second season. For these ball clubs, ACC still what about a week away, week or two away from getting into their conference play in Moss. I mean, we had Duke and Syracuse.
Yeah,
How about Syracuse?
let's talk
What a
about this
win!
game. Let's talk about this
Wow,
game.
what a win by the Orange and
Dominating defensive performance.
big time. And how about Billy Dwan, a sophomore, blanketing Brendan O'Neal all night? And this one was weird in that at no point did I feel Duke was going to make a run. When's the last time you've watched a Duke game saying, okay, it's always been like, all right, all they need is one to get them going. And every time, which wasn't often because they only scored four goals, but every time they'd make a play, Syracuse had an answer. So, wow. And what a team performance defensively from the Orange in this one.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, there was one point, I think it was 8-2, start of the fourth, third quarter, I guess. And Josh Sawada scored a goal to make it 8-3. And you're like, okay, here we go. And then Syracuse just swallowed that up and ran some clock and shut him down a couple times. Duke had an 18 turnover, 17 or 18 turnovers, yet they weren't in the clearing game. I think they cleared like 21 out of 23 clears. They just came on offense, like just bad passing.
Yeah, threw the ball away quite a bit. And that leads me into how many times have I talked about this over the years? You don't get too high, you don't get too low. These games oftentimes take on a life of their own, whatever that might be. And it could be emotion, it could be momentum, it could be execution, it could be officiating, whatever the case may be. And this is a game. I mean, look, if Duke and Syracuse play each other 10 times, I don't know, Duke might win seven of them or six of them or maybe four of them, but I just don't see this being a replicating effort. Or maybe it is. I don't know. And it could also come down to matchups. How does a team just match up with another team? But man, what a statement win. And that, people were calling the Virginia win over Maryland a statement win. I'm not sold on that. That was never a game. I mean, there were points in that game where Maryland led. And Maryland was making runs. I never thought that, I didn't think that Virginia dominated Maryland. Syracuse dominated Duke last night.
And
What is it?
I think it's worth giving a shout out to Will Mark, had 14 saves in goal for Syracuse and was excellent. Timely saves that just shut down any momentum that Duke could have picked up on. So great win for Syracuse. Dix, there's no better way to experience college lacrosse up close and personal than to be a part of the action for the Duke Denver game on March 24th. This Sunday, March 24th, at Archbishop Spalding High School in Severn, Maryland. Severn is between Baltimore and Annapolis. Yeah. So weather's going to be good on Sunday. And the Blue
Severn's very
Devils.
generous too. That's Glen Burnie.
But Archbishop Spalding says they're in Severn. So
Whatever.
it'd be like, it's a Severn is a nicer like zip code. It's like 90210 versus like LA, like Beverly Hills versus LA zip code or something. Yeah, saying
That's
it's
like
in
the folks
Severn
that
is.
live in Harrah County in the 043. It could be Elkridge or Ellicott City.
Yeah, you want
And
to say
people
you
are
live
like, yeah,
in.
I live in Ellicott City.
I live in Ellicott City. You're like, you're across the street from me, but I live in Elkridge and you live. Yeah, so the game is at
And all
Archbishop's.
those places are lovely, by the way. They're
Yeah,
all
they are. I
very,
mean,
very
there's no
nice
bad
places.
places in Harrah County. It's one of the nicest places you can live. This game is on Sunday, March 24th at Archbishop Spalding High School in Severn, Maryland. The Blue Devils and Pioneers face off at 2 p.m. in the second event of the College Lacrosse Live Series this season. Tickets are available for adults at $25 and for youth fans ages 12 and under for just $12. Fans can also purchase tickets for a VIP hospitality experience that includes sideline access, food, and beverage. Really, can't beat that. Can't beat that. To learn more about the series and purchase tickets, visit collegelacrosselive.com to get your tickets today. Again, that's collegelacrosselive.com to get your tickets today. Duke versus Denver, where lacrosse is up close and personal. And while we're at it, we might as well shout out. They have another event coming up. It's on Long Island, Cornell and Notre Dame. If you want to get tickets for that one, I think that's in a few weeks. It's in April. That's collegelacrosselive.com. Get your tickets today. All right, Dix, let's move on to the games this week. There's another amazing slate of games. Again, we're on a run of where top 20 teams just keep playing each other. Usually there's like three or four each weekend, but we've been six, seven, eight, nine games consistently. This week there's six. Let's start on Saturday, March 23rd. Number 8, Yale. They're 4-1, 1-0 in the Ivy League. We'll go take on Cornell, who's ranked number 12. They're 4-2 overall, 1-0 in the Ivy League. Noon on ESPN Plus.
The Ivy League, very high scoring. And Yale, how about Matt Brandau? What do you have, like 6 or 7 goals against Denver? And then last week he had 8 assists. So showing his versatility and, yeah, a guy that's been around forever, you know, up in New Haven, but still getting the job done. But this will be a high scoring game. You know, Brandau for Yale, the leader, CJ Kirst at Cornell. It's interesting. Brandau's never really flirted with the Tuataha, has he? The way that a CJ Kirst has. Like, he's never really been mentioned in that, like, first of all, I think we've talked about it before. I mean, obviously the Tuataha, an amazing award, a great honor, but the way they do it's kind of convoluted with the watch list, you know, like, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 people on it. You know, the Heisman's a little bit more compelling in that it's a little bit more like, I don't want to say secret, but, you know, really, when you talk about Heisman hopefuls, there's like 7 to 10 guys. You know, the Tuataha, let's be honest, there's 5 to 7 guys out there that are, you know, have the potential to be on stage in DC at the end of this thing. But so that's really interesting. But this will be a high scoring game. And both teams got the first one under their belt. And you know, we'll just continue on in a league that, I mean, look, Brown keeps getting better each and every week. So they could eventually play spoiler. But really, you know, when it boils down to it, when you're looking at the tournament, the Ivy League tournament, you know, it's really what? Cornell, Princeton, Penn, Yale.
Harvard. They're five top 20 teams.
They're really like a five-team race to make that conference tournament.
Still, that makes it very compelling. In another Ivy League game, the teams that lost to those two teams last week, they're about trying to bounce back and fall and not fall to 0-2 in the Ivy League. Number 14, Princeton, will play at number 16th ranked Harvard at noon on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, what the interesting thing with Cornell is they were able to limit the freshman tandem of Burns and Kabiri. I think Burns might have been double donuts in the. Yeah,
that's a problem with freshmen.
Right.
Inconsistency.
Well, and this is the time of year too where they start to hit the wall, because the NCAA season is so much longer than a high school season. Yeah. Harvard, Sam King again proving to be, no, that's another one. Like, how about Sam King for maybe some Tuataha love? I know he's
that's why they have the watch list. It's to
I know,
give publicity to lots of players and the award, and to have more people involved. The Heisman kind of runs itself. The watch list is to promote guys like Sam King and Matt Brandau.
So do you prefer the watch list being, you know, 30, 40, 50 deep?
It's a lot. I understand the watch list. I get why they do it. I think it's a opportunity to highlight outstanding players and the award throughout the season. Yeah, I get it. I'm fine with it. Hey, my nephew's on the watch list. Give him Mike G a little love.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I'm not. It's not. It doesn't make or break me. It just came up in my mind, and I'm like, wow, Matt Brandau's guy that's had a pretty lustrous career. He's never really been mentioned as a potential four-time winner. Yeah, but Sam King's getting a lot of support these days from a player, Teddy Malone. He's having a nice year up in Cambridge. Harvard plays fast, which is fun. I remember the one game that I really keyed on was a couple weeks ago when they played Bryant. And they needed to play fast because Bryant was playing fast. So this will be an entertaining game, and you know, definitely one that's going to go a long way in terms of A, potentially making the Ivy League tournament, and then B, if you make it, what's your seeding going?
In the Big Ten game, you'll be calling number 7 Maryland at number 19 Michigan, 2:30 on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, myself and Joe B will be on this game, and Michigan. This game sold out last week.
It's fantastic.
Bring your long johns. I'll be heading into Ann Arbor on Friday. 70% chance of snow and I think 30 degrees.
100% chance of Zingerman's Deli.
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking of Zingerman's, but after talking to some folks in Ann Arbor, they're like, dude, you got to try the Maize and Blue deli. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what's happening there. Either way, I'll get a good meal when I'm in Ann Arbor. And it's always a challenge because Fridays, I am Catholic and I try to adhere to the no meat on Fridays, but it just reminds me of back when I was playing, how hard it was, especially on the road when you go to a good Italian restaurant and they got chicken parm and meatballs and all that other kind of thing. And oh man, just like, come on. It's a killer. But sold out. It'll be 35 degrees on Saturday. So bring your long johns, layer up, and Michigan will be honoring their 2023 Big Ten championship team at halftime and unfurling the banner. They beat Maryland twice last year in the regular season, then in the Big Ten championship tournament game. And don't think that the Maryland folks haven't noticed that they've decided to unveil the banner at this game. So this will be a really, really good game between two teams coming off of losses. Notre Dame, Michigan losing to Notre Dame, Maryland losing to Virginia. This will be fun.
And finally, the last top 20 matchup on Saturday, number 10, Georgetown at number 17, Richmond at 6 p.m. on Flow Sports, your favorite website.
Flow Sports is the worst. They're terrible. The Big East, the CAA, you guys need new media deals. But hey, it'll still be streamed. So if you want to shoot the lock off your wallet, pay for it, go right ahead. The Hoyas beat Dartmouth this week handily, but you got to hand it to the Big Green. They're improving, they're getting better. And I think that they're going to take some steps under head coach Sean Kerwin. Richmond plays a great schedule. But they've lost to Maryland, they've lost to Virginia, they've lost to Duke. But I think they're going to be very much battle tested when it comes to conference play. This is another tremendous challenge for the Spiders. Can they steal or pull off one of these out of conference wins? But anyway, this Georgetown team is vastly different from the one that lost week one at Loyola by 8 goals, playing good defense, sharing the ball offensively. Yeah, this is a nice game for the Hoyas before they begin their Big East conference play, which you got to think Denver is once again going to be their main rivals. But watch out for Villanova. That team just continues to get better and better.
Moving on to Sunday, game we talked about a little bit at Archbishop Spalding in Severn, Maryland. Number 4, Duke, now 8-2, looking to bounce back from their Wednesday loss. We'll take on number 9, Denver, who's 6-1, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, neutral site game. And Denver, again, getting frequent flyer miles. They were at Baltimore playing Hopkins earlier this season. Now they come back. They'll take on Duke. Yeah, the Blue Devils, all that talent, only 4 goals against Syracuse. So can they bounce back? I think they will. Their response after losing to Penn, and then a couple of days later, they throttled and doubled up Princeton. But it's a head scratcher when you have that much talent and you can only muster 4 goals, not taking anything away from Syracuse and being in the dome. But that was tough. Denver coming off of a hard-fought victory over Ohio State last weekend. So they righted the ship after dropping their first contest of the season to Yale. Very balanced team, both defensively, offensively. And this is a rivalry really that's been very entertaining over the years. This one will go a long way. Whatever team can get this, will be a good non-conference win. So yeah, this game, part of the Corrigan Live events, and it'll be entertaining.
Finally, our Johns Hopkins Blue Jays, ranked number 11 this week. They're 5-3 after their Navy loss. Take on number 18 Rutgers at 4:30 on the Big Ten Network. You'll be on the call, right?
Yes, I will be. So all three Big Ten games will be on Big Ten Network on linear. It'll be we mentioned Maryland, Michigan, 2:30 Saturday. Ohio State, Penn State, 4:30. Got to give a shout out. Mitchell Pelkey will be making his debut as an analyst. He was with us Saturday, shadowing myself and Pete Medhurst in the Maryland Virginia game. I know he's working hard to get ready. And then Sunday, Pete and I will have Rutgers and Hopkins. Look, Hopkins is a team that was riding high, maybe a little too high after the win over Virginia. We talked about the social media, the "we never left" post on Instagram, and since then they've dropped two in a row, one to Syracuse, team on the upswing, and then they lose to Navy at home in a game where they were up 6-1, 6-2. A lot of the Blue Jay faithful scratching their heads over that one, but now it's the second season conference play, and Rutgers is a very, very good team at home. You got the horn, you got the crowd. Should be a good one on Saturday late afternoon. Sorry, Sunday late afternoon for this one. Rutgers is a team that it starts with Shane Knoblauch, Ross Scott, but Jack Amon has been playing very, very well. Colin Cordelia, a freshman, is having a really good season. So they're more balanced offensively than I thought they would be. And their goaltender, Carden Stoller, has been terrific. He was Big Ten Freshman of the Week and Big Ten Specialist of the Week as they come over. They're coming off of a 10-9 victory over UMass. So this will be a great game on Sunday. Make sure you tune in to Big Ten Network if you can't be there in person.
It really will be a great game. And there's lots of them this weekend. So again, as always, find your games you're going to watch, make your schedule. And it's even more important this week, Dix, because of March Madness and the NCAA basketball tournament. So it's time for this week's Give and Go. And again, I want to remind everybody that the Defline Dixie podcast is presented by our friends at the Simplicity Group. And Dix, do you have your bracket? So how do you go about doing this? This is something everybody does every year. I organize one. My wife's like, you got to organize it for the neighborhood. So I had to get on ESPN and figure out a free bracket for everybody and then email everybody the bracket and the link. And it's so funny. It's like, I'm supposed to do our neighbors, like people at our bus stop. And it's surprising, like who registers immediately. And then other people who are like, oh, I really thought that guy would submit one. And maybe one for his kid, and then they don't. But other people are like in there right away. And you're like, all right, closet college basketball fan. I love it. I love it.
I do have a bracket. The folks that I've do mine with, it's a law firm in the Baltimore area. I'm not going to name what the law firm, the name of them, because in case the SEC or something wants to investigate them. But that's all in the up and up. But it's through CBS. CBS is awesome. I have to figure. So do you just? I mean, I can't ask all. I mean, I can't imagine all the people asking you to do this, do that. I thought you'd put the do not disturb sign up on your office, at home, sequester yourself because it starts at noon on Thursday, which is now this is Friday, so yesterday
Yeah,
it
you
started,
are.
and it's a great 2 days,
It's the best. This is the best sports weekend of the year between the NCAA basketball tournament and whatever else it is that you care about, whether it's golf, whether it's lacrosse. There's some really great lacrosse games this weekend. It's the
right.
best. You just plant yourself in front of the TV because March Madness always delivers. The first four games the past couple of nights have been fantastic. Like, their like Virginia game was kind of a stinker, but you're like, can they really lose this bad? Can a team really go almost an hour of actual daytime and not score? So
Oh, is
Virginia,
that what happened?
yeah, so they didn't score the last 10 minutes of the first half.
Oh
And
my
then there was
God.
halftime, and they didn't score the beginning of the second half. And it was almost 60 minutes of actual daytime that they didn't score.
Holy
So
smokes,
it's all
that's not
fascinating, especially now that sports betting is legal in most states. If you have a little interest on some of the games, it makes it even more compelling. Those type
yeah.
of games where you're like rooting for something to
Yeah, I
happen.
guess I'm not a huge college basketball fan. I know you bust my chops on the Carolina stuff, but that's only because I can absolutely drag you when it comes to Duke and their performance thus far in 2024. But it is, with all due respect to college lacrosse, this is the best tournament.
Yeah, it's
So
always
many
fascinating.
upsets, so many thrilling ends and storylines, and I guess from the outside looking in, I guess a lot of people were upset that Pitt didn't make the NCAA tournament. And I know, I guess, two teams that people were really questioning, Michigan State and Virginia. And I guess the Virginia haters got, you know, to beat their chest a little bit with that poor performance that you just described in the first four. But no, I got two brackets filled out, keeping my fingers crossed. I've been doing this bracket for over 20 years with the same group. The only time I've ever come into the money was 2004.
Oh, what year was that? Like, I'm trying to think back who won.
Well,
it
what
that
year
year.
Was it? I just said it was year 2004.
No, who, it's not important. I mean, like, who won the championship? Who did
it was
you
UConn.
Pick? UConn.
UConn beat Georgia Tech. And
yeah,
then
I remember
Duke,
that.
And Duke and Oklahoma State were in the Final Four. I think Oklahoma State had Big Country, Bryant Reeves, that year. And then Emeka Okafor, if you remember Emeka Okafor from the from the UConn team, he won. But the reason I think I finished second or third that year, but I had the exact Final Four.
Nice.
Like, that's how hard this damn pool is with the folks I do it with. You almost have to, like, have the whole Final Four to be in the money. So
there's a story that's going around that I'd never heard before, but I've seen it in two different places, about a guy who a few years ago picked the first 48 games correct. The entire first 48 games. And it's the, you know, the story of the best bracket ever. Who's
what's his name? Marty McFly. He
no,
was in Back to the Future.
Well, that was Biff. Biff was the one who found the sports almanac.
Why don't you make like a tree and leave? Why don't you make like a tree and get out?
So who do you got? Let's get right down to it. Like,
what do you want?
So
you
first
want...
of all, you pick two. I just pick one. I just go through.
I know,
and, pick
and
one.
I shouldn't do two, but I can't help myself, and I know nothing about college basketball.
But most people like that's what's fun. It's a cultural phenomenon. Everybody like fills out a bracket and does it. I mean, there's kids and people who I know do it. My wife has a bracket and she takes great pride in it. And I'm like, you made some really good picks, and you know nothing. People watch
I just
any games.
Whip through.
All right,
I just
so
whip through.
Who do you got in? Like, let's talk about like your Elite Eight. That should be a good place to start, and then we'll get to your Final Four and champion. Who do you got?
Okay, so first bracket, I have Elite Eight, and I tell you what, like, I don't watch a lot of basketball, but this guy Dan Hurley from UConn, he seems like a real interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fighting with fans all the time, and yeah, I don't know. So, you know, UConn obviously defending national champions, really, really good basketball team. Okay, so Elite Eight, UConn, UConn, BYU,
okay,
Arizona, Carolina,
mm-hmm.
TCU, Texas, Houston, Kentucky. And
okay.
out of that, I get a Final Four of Texas, Kentucky, UConn, Arizona, national championship game of Arizona, Texas, with Arizona winning the title.
Okay.
I have no idea if that's going to work out. I have absolutely no freaking idea. I saw Arizona play earlier this season against – who'd they play? It was a great game. It was like a triple overtime game, and Arizona won. So that's how I'm familiar with the Wildcats. And I have absolutely no idea what the hell Texas is all about, but I just picked them because they're a 7 seed, and I'm like, there always seems to be a lower seed in the Final Four, and okay, they're it for me. That's my one bracket.
Okay.
Do you want me to do the second bracket, or you want to go with yours?
Yeah, I'll do mine. So I also have Houston and UConn and Arizona in the Final Four. Isn't that what you
Mm-hmm.
said you have this in? But I have Purdue.
Well,
coming
I have
up.
Kentucky, Texas, UConn, Arizona in the Final Four in this one.
Right.
Yeah.
So my final eight is UConn, Iowa State, UNC, Arizona in the West, the Midwest, Purdue and Tennessee, and in the South region, Houston and Kentucky.
You're and trusting Purdue.
Yeah, I am.
I mean,
I've
that
watched
team,
them play a lot.
It's like, it's
They're
almost
better than
like,
last year.
It's almost like you have like you're inclined to pick conference champions, the teams that won their conference tournament. And I know Purdue did not win theirs. I know like North Carolina did not win theirs. I know
Houston.
Houston did not win theirs, but I don't know, man. That's yeah. Purdue's just a team that you just can't trust.
They have
I
a
feel.
force of nature in the middle of their team, and they got
Yeah.
better. Their guards were freshmen last year, plus they got a transfer who it really helps out. They're just a better team this year. So I
Okay.
have Purdue going on to the Final Four
Wow.
with Houston in this, winning the South. Although I think Kentucky is going to be a formidable opponent. I just like Houston's defense. Dude, Houston defense doesn't take days off, you know. And then
Right.
UConn and Arizona in the other two Final Four teams with UConn beating Purdue in the championship game. So I think
Wow. So you
UConn
got two
is,
ones going to the championship.
I think I have, yes, I think that they're just two of the, those are the best teams I saw all year long. And I think UConn is just the best team. And I picked them to win it. They have Cam Spencer, Pat Spencer got his first NBA bucket this week on a
Oh, wow.
dunk, on a dunk.
Ooh.
I like the UConn Huskies, sadly. I got my Duke Blue Devils going down in the Sweet 16 to Houston, but hopefully they make it to the second weekend. That'll make me happy. I don't know. I'm a little.
In this bracket, I have them losing in the first round of Vermont.
It could happen. I mean,
Yeah, it
the
could. I mean,
odds are
Vermont's one of those
against that,
sneaky,
but
well-coached, disciplined
yeah.
America East. They've run the America East for the last few years. So, but okay, that's my. You want to hear my second bracket quickly?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. So, Elite Eight, and in this bracket, I have Duke losing to Houston in the Sweet 16. So I'm a little
Same.
bit more
I have that
balanced.
as well.
Okay. My second bracket, Elite Eight, UConn, Iowa. This one's a little bit more chalk.
Okay.
UConn, Iowa State, North Carolina, Baylor, Houston, Marquette, Gonzaga, Creighton, with a Final Four of UConn, Baylor, Houston, Creighton, then Baylor versus Houston, an all Texas final with the Cougars winning the national championship. So everything looks, everything is plausible. Everything is, I'm not crazy with these brackets, but they'll be destroyed by, Friday
Well,
or Saturday afternoon.
that's what makes it fun. And that's why
I
they call them
know, I
bracket
know.
busters. One of these games turns the wrong way and it just destroys everybody, like Purdue losing last year. But I love how you just wrote them off. Like you have no faith in them at all because
I
they
mean,
burned, they must
it's
have
so I
burned you last
so.
year.
So not only have, I mean, they could, and then some people are making the argument, could they be the Virginia of a couple of years ago when Virginia lost to UMBC in the first round, then they won the title the next year. Purdue lost to Fairleigh Dickinson last year in the first round. But my memory is short. I remember the losers. Like, what was the, so the national champion last year was what, San Diego State?
UConn won the national
UConn
championship.
beat San Diego State.
Yes.
But San Diego State beat Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. Was that
Yeah,
it?
yes.
I didn't remember that. And that's incredibly memorable. That so that's I just remember the losers. I don't remember the winners all that well. But that Big Ten tournament, man, that's no joke. I mean, that starts. I mean, that's like a that's a 5-day tournament.
Yeah, most of the conferences are so big that that's
I
most of them
know.
are 5 days.
Well, gauntlet of a regular season. Well, it's like NC State. NC State had to win five games,
They
I
won five
believe.
games in 5 days.
But you look at their
It's
first round
so rare.
matchup, and they've got Texas Tech, and I mean they could easily lose that game. And I think a lot of I have them losing to Texas Tech in the first round.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that. Good chance of that. The odds are in Texas Tech's favor. But anyway, that seems like a good place to stop. A reminder that the Deep Flying Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. We'll be here all season. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app. Leave a review. Tell a friend. Share the love. It's free. We always love to hear from you, so feel free to email us at dflyanddixie@gmail.com. Or find us on Twitter and Instagram at DFly and Dixie. Thanks for listening, and as always, enjoy the games.